And that's why I always tell people the best day of my life is when I get to change my mind again.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. My guest this week is the host of the Mindful Skeptics podcast, Boyce Littlefield. We did something a little different this week, and we did a back-to-back podcast. Boyce on my show, and then I joined him on his show. So if you want to hear me rattle on about myself a little bit and answer Boyce's Baker's Dozen questions, check out Mindful Skeptics podcast, episode 18, where we dive into things like my favorite movies, places I want to visit, in my opinions on gun laws. I really enjoyed having Boyce on the show, and I really enjoyed being on Boyce's show. On today's episode of Made Us, Boyce and I talk about the topic of reinventing yourself, and how he's reinvented himself over and over again. We also talk about our triggers in wanting to protect children from child abuse. And also one more thing, I was fortunate enough this week to not only be on Boyce's podcast, the Mindful Skeptics podcast, but I also joined Stacy Carlin on Hustle and Heels podcast. So this week, you can really get your fill of Zach. On the Hustle and Heels podcast, I talk about my three hustles, tattooing, shooting, and podcasting, and how I got started in all three. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, take a moment to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and share the show with a friend. If you don't listen in Apple Podcasts, make sure you subscribe in whatever podcast app you listen to. Once that's all said and done, hop over to our social media pages, and make sure you like and follow our pages. On Facebook, at facebook.com/madeuspodcast, or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. And if you have a guest suggestion, drop us a line at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. Once again, I can't thank Boyce enough for joining me. It was really fun talking about reinventing yourself and how he's been able to reinvent himself over and over again. So without further ado, my conversation with Boyce Littlefield. Boyce, welcome.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for joining me tonight.
Absolutely.
Tonight's going to be fun. We're doing a double podcast, kind of. So anybody that's listening to this right now, you can go find a second podcast that's going to follow this one up. It's going to be a little different, but it's going to follow this one up with the person I'm talking to right now, which is Boyce Littlefield. So Boyce, tell us about your podcast a little bit.
My podcast is called the Mindful Skeptics Podcast. I primarily talk about religion and politics, because those are the two things you can't talk about at work.
Okay.
And you can't talk about at dinner.
Yeah.
Because you'll lose family, friends, and jobs.
Yeah, for sure.
Possibly. So I like to have a space where people can listen or join in a discussion through social media and whatnot and talk about those difficult conversations that is really just taboo in public.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And trying to be peaceful about it.
Yeah. And I'm trying to be non-judgment. I'm not here to judge you. I'll talk about the idea, not the person.
Yeah.
I'm not here to attack individuals because nobody's born with an idea. They're taught everything they know.
That's absolutely it. That's, we talked about that. So I grew up, and my listeners know this, I grew up in a biracial household.
Yes.
And we talk about that. We talk about that racism isn't something you're born with. You don't know racism. Mm-hmm. That's a learned habit. That's a learned thing. You know? So I grew up with it, and it was never an issue because that was just something that was in my life. You know, and you see friends and you see other people that kind of, I don't want to say that they were racist or anything like that. They just, it caught them off guard. Where with me, it was like, that's my sister. That's my brother. That's, you know.
Yeah, my kids are growing up in a similar situation where my oldest stepson was mixed.
Okay.
And he's currently mixed.
it didn't change.
but he's the oldest. And so my kids all grew up with him in the house and just this normal life. It's just people are people.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a great exposure to start your life with. I think it gives you a little more open-mindedness and a better idea of the real world.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, especially in a small town like we are in the Southwest Michigan, where it's very conservative, very, I won't say segregated, but it's different.
It's very close-minded. Yeah,
for sure.
It's sad to see. You see a lot of it. I'm very fortunate in the field that I'm in is a little more open-minded.
Well, yeah, definitely.
The people that come see me are a little more open-minded, but it is sad to see. You see a lot of close-minded people.
Well, and for me, I really didn't see it as brightly under the lights until I went in the military, and then I came back, and I saw this divide, the river.
Okay.
I mean, you just see this. I read a book where it's called the Northern Mason-Dixon Line.
Okay.
The river.
Yeah.
And you have the jail sitting there. It's looking like a moat to a castle.
Yeah.
And if you cross that bridge, that's
a whole different world.
Yeah. That's what's waiting for you. The jail stop here.
Yeah.
So that always stuck out to me. And I just want my, because I went to Benton Harbor schools when I was young. So I was used to being the odd man out.
Yeah. There's a really good book called The Other Side of the River.
Yeah.
It's by Alex Koltowitz.
Yeah.
He's an author out of Chicago.
Okay.
And it talks about a murder that happened. Well, it wasn't a murder. It is a murder, but it was never described as a murder. It was like 92. A boy from Benton Harbor was found in the river, floating in the river. A black boy from Benton Harbor was found floating in the river. The last place he was seen was being chased by some white boys through St. Joe.
This was in 1992?
Yeah, and it was never solved.
Huh.
And basically the whole premise of the book was saying if that was the other way around, it would be solved.
Rather quickly.
Yeah, rather quickly.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say, it's a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
It was a New York Times bestseller.
You might have to check that out.
Yeah, it's a really good book.
Well, it's sad to say that that's just common, though.
No, it is.
There's a reason I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not big enough of a deal.
Yeah.
That it's been dismissed almost, you know, in general.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So I lived here then. I was graduated in 93. I should have known that.
Yeah.
But I never heard of it.
Yep. It happened right downtown St. Joe. So anyways.
Yeah.
If someone wants to find your podcast, how can they find it?
Typically, I put links on Facebook.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. So, but Facebook, you can definitely find it. Yeah,
definitely. I'm all over Facebook and all the social media stuff with Twitter, and they're all the same thing, Mindful Skeptics.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
It's a unique name. That's why I want a unique name, so it'd be easily found. If you just knew the name of it, you could search it on any engine.
Yeah, for sure.
So I really made sure I picked the name carefully.
Okay.
And yours is unique too.
I tried.
It's simple.
I tried.
You know, nice and easy.
I put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. These things don't come out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you do in your day-to-day life?
Physical therapist assistant. I do home care. So I drive home to home and see patients in their home until they're able to get out and go into outpatient therapy or continue on their own.
Okay.
Yeah. So typically orthopedics and strokes and whatnot.
Okay. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good gig, man. I like it.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about you kind of reinventing yourself over and over again.
Yeah. I've had some changes in my life, to say the least.
Yeah.
So I was born in Georgia, but then we moved up to Benton Harbor when I was 5, and I started school in Benton Harbor elementary schools, and I was literally the only white face in the whole grade.
Really?
So my dad was a racist.
Oh, no.
From Georgia, with a rebel flag in the back window type.
Oh, geez.
And then he comes, and he's like, "Where's your white friends?" And I'm like, "I am the white friend." You know, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I always was out of place, but just stuck out.
Yeah.
And went to 3 different schools in 3 different years in Benton Harbor, and then went to Hartford and stayed there forever. Then I was settled.
Okay. And you're still a minority in Hartford, really.
Yeah. Hartford's pretty diverse, too, with the Hispanic community. When I moved to Hartford, we moved into a Hispanic and kind of a low-income trailer park.
Okay.
And then my dad eventually left for good.
Oh, really?
And went to Arkansas. And so then my mom was just a single mom with 3 kids.
Yeah, that's rough. Tough.
Yeah,
that's really tough.
We had everything between Jack and shit.
Yeah.
And so by the time I was 12, I started working. I was just the little weird kid that had a job.
You started working at 12?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Washing dishes and bussing tables. My mom was a cook, so I went to the restaurant she worked at and said, "Hey,
okay,
I want to work." Because back then, the most important thing to a 12-year-old was ESPN and MTV.
Yeah.
And we had neither. And we didn't have a home phone either.
Yeah.
So my friends, you know, you start getting into sports, you start to get to know people a little better from Newtown through sports for me.
Yeah.
That was my way in. So my friends are like, you know, can we call you? I was like, "You can call me anything you want. You just can't call me on a phone." And they were asking me about, "Did you see what happened on ESPN last night? Ricky Henderson, this and that or whatever." So then I talked to my mom. I was like, why don't I have a phone or cable?" And she's like, "It's $20 a month for each."
Yeah.
So I started working. I gave her $40 a month. Go pay the bill.
Nice.
And so I just got through high school with sports, and I worked my way through so I can have stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like school clothes.
That's a crazy thing to do at 12.
Yeah.
To kind of put that on your head. 12. To put that on your head and be like,
"Yeah,
oh, well, I want this."
Yep.
Time to figure it out.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody else getting it for me.
Yeah.
So that kind of installed a little work ethic, of course, and some independence. And so when you're growing up like that and you go to a small town, and then all of a sudden I became good at sports.
Okay. What sports did you play?
I was a cross country wrestling and track.
Nice.
And I was all state in 3 sports.
Holy shit, man.
And so I was a first for my school, I guess. So then I became the guy who was good at sports, the individual sports.
Yeah, because those are definitely all individual. They're not really team sports.
Exactly. I'm independent. I can rely on myself.
Yeah, everything I played was team sports.
So yeah. Well, I love basketball, baseball, football.
Yeah.
But I'm just not the best at it.
Okay.
I was the best at running, and I was good enough to be an all-state in wrestling. You know, like,
yeah,
I'm not the greatest, but I was good enough.
That's awesome.
So then I had all these opportunities going my way with scholarships. And then I blew my knee out on a trampoline.
Oh, no.
And so all that was gone.
When was that?
That's when I graduated.
Oh, like your senior year you did that, or no, after your senior year?
After I graduated, it was 2 weeks into college.
Really?
Then that was done. Scholarships are done. You're done. Go home with crutches.
Oh, man. What the hell were you doing?
Just on a trampoline with some girl.
Yeah.
Jacking around.
Trying to be a hotshot?
Yeah, pretty much. And then the other person landed on my shin with 2 feet and just spun my tibia. Bam.
Oh, man.
And it was bad.
Yeah.
So I couldn't walk for 12 weeks with no weight bearing. Well, then the funny part of that is then during the winter, I fell downstairs again with the other leg and I hit my knee. And I busted my other knee. And then I was on 2 immobilizers.
Good Lord.
I went from running, 15-minute 5Ks to 2 immobilizers in a 3-month span.
That's got to be demoralizing.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then I started, because then I had pain. Lots of pain. And then you realize that these pain meds aren't helping.
Yeah.
And plus you have no insurance. I have no insurance at that time. I'm just a poor kid.
Okay.
And so I had just taken Tylenol 3 with codeine or something like that. It just made me sleepy and that was it, but it still hurt. Well, then my friend's like, dude, marijuana. And I'm like, I don't do drugs. He goes, it's not drugs. This is marijuana. And I was like, I don't mess with that stuff. He's like, do you want the pain to go away? And then he had my attention. I'm like, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So I did that for like 6 months.
Yeah, kind of self-medicating with that.
Hell yeah. And then by then, I got a job working. Then I started working 2 jobs, and I tried to reinvent myself, say, I'm going to go into Tool and Die.
Yeah.
So I got a job at Tool and Die, at Standard Tool and Die in Stevensville here.
Okay.
And then I got a second job at Hanson Mold, just kicking out parts.
Yeah.
Just sitting there. And it was really helpful because I could elevate my leg.
Oh, okay. So you're still all jacked up at this point.
Yeah, I still had a brace on. They didn't know I needed it, but I kind of hobbled in and just sit down in this chair and parts would just kick out for me. I just put them in a box.
Okay.
Mindless temp job. But then I had a Mustang and it caught fire.
It caught fire? How the hell did it catch fire?
While I was driving it.
What?
The fuel injection system sits on top. Well, and then something happened with a spark plug, they said, and it kind of backfired or malfunctioned or whatever, and it kicked the spark up there.
That's terrifying.
And then the motor started on fire.
That's terrifying. You were just driving down the road?
Yep. 2:30 in the morning. So I got off work at Standard at 2:00 in the morning, driving home through Benton Harbor, and it just caught on fire. The whole hood started bubbling and blistering the paint.
Really?
And then all my gauges were going goofy. So then it just died, and I pulled over, and it's 2:30 in the morning, and I'm in Main Street in Benton Harbor. Not a good place.
Yeah, not exactly.
And here's the funny thing. I popped the hood, and I grabbed my 2-liter Dr. Pepper to put it out with. So I'm just dumping away, and I'm like, this isn't helping. And I just see the flames just from the hose that's just shooting fluid right on top, just burning. And I thought, okay, this could blow up.
Yeah.
But first, grab your CDs. Those seem important at the time.
Yeah, that's important.
When you're 18 years old, 19 years old, those are important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just grabbed my CDs and took off running. And, so then I had to quit my jobs.
Oh, because you had no transportation?
No transportation. And I'm not a charity case, man. Yeah. I just can't do it. And people were like, we can give you a ride. I was like, screw that. I got to do this on my own. There's no way.
Yeah.
That's when I joined the military. I was like, I'm getting the hell out of here. I got bad juju here.
So that's at like 19?
It is at 19.
Yeah.
Yep. So I went in the military.
What branch did you join?
Navy.
The Navy.
Yep. I was in the U.S. Navy.
Okay.
And wound up being in Jacksonville, Florida.
One of my best friends is in Jacksonville, Florida right now.
Great place.
He's at, I think he's at Jax.
Yeah.
And then what's the other one? Mayport.
Mayport.
Yeah. Yep. He's been bounced back and forth between the two. And they just bought a house there, like in Orange Park.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
spectacular.
Yeah. He loves it down there.
It's a good spot, man. Jacksonville is like St. Joe on steroids.
Yeah. That's...
You got the lake and St. Joe River. Mm-hmm. And then down there, you got the ocean and St. John's River.
Okay.
It's oddly just a mirror of each other, except for just more of the same.
Yeah. He absolutely loves it down there.
Oh, man. It's the biggest city in the United States, technically, square footage.
Really?
Square mileage. Yeah, it's its own county.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's its own county.
Whoa.
Duval County is Jacksonville City, like the whole, not the city, but the township. But yeah, so I was down there for 4 years, and got to reinvent myself where I got to go somewhere where not a single person knew me.
Okay.
Literally. And I just got to reinvent myself again. Like, okay, now I'm just a new face.
Yeah.
I don't have to be the kid that lost it all and got the pitiful look.
Yeah.
I didn't like that.
Yeah, and especially up here, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. Well, and they're like, hey, why aren't you at college? Then I tell them I got hurt. You get that pitiful, cock the head kind of pitiful look, man. That just hurts you to the core.
Yeah.
So I was constantly, the military is good to me, man. I had a great 4 years, Zero complaints. I can't always say that, but it was the best 4 years of my life.
Yeah. What was your job in the military?
I was a signalman.
Okay. What the hell is that?
Which it's really an outdated job. I mean, I didn't do nothing, bro. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
So a signalman does flashing light, which is Morse code.
Okay.
Then there's the signaling with the flags.
Okay.
So then you have to, it's encoded. There's a book, you got to decode it.
Okay.
Encrypt it or whatever. And so you got to read the flags top to bottom, left to right. And, you know, it's all messaging. Yeah. And then the other form was the hand signaling for close, like if you're doing like a reload or a refueling at sea and stuff.
Okay.
You can kind of do hand signals with these two hands. It's called semaphore.
Okay.
It's just an outdated, unnecessary job, but it still existed.
Yeah.
And so I had it going, man. So then I learned all these other jobs. I learned how to do navigation and I became a master helmsman.
Okay. So what's that?
So you get to drive the ship in the tight quarters.
Okay.
So like I got to drive through the Panama Canal.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Man. I got to drive through the Panama Canal. I got to drive the ship while we're doing a refueling at sea with this giant refueling ship.
Yeah.
So it's just bringing you food and fuel and bullets and whatever, all your supplies. So you're like 150 feet from another huge vessel in the middle of these seas when you're really getting choppy.
Yeah.
And you can see your boat dipping and their boat dipping, and it kind of gets closer, and they have these little markers that go left to right. They're like, oh, too close. Scooch, 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 you know?
Yeah.
So I got to do little things like that. And, you know, you learn how to navigate with the stars, to learn how to be a quartermaster, which does navigation. Bunch of little weird skills that you'll never use again.
Yeah, that shit's way over my head.
You'll never use it again, you know? So I got all that experience, but it really didn't translate into jack shit when I got out. So
yeah, I could see that. That's not really something you can go into.
No, it doesn't help.
So you were in 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
And then got out.
Yeah, I got out, honorable discharge, and did my job well for 4 years, and I came back. And I had, and when you get out of the military, you get 6 months, no questions asked, unemployment in Michigan.
Okay.
To say, okay, we're going to give you 6 months to transition. After my first check in 2 weeks, I was bored out of my gourd.
Yeah.
So I went and got a job at Nyland Products in Bridgman. So I got a job there, and I was there for like 6 months. And so I was like, okay, I'm back in the machining thing. So I start that again, and then they ship our job down to Mississippi. I wind up training the people who's taking my job.
Oh, geez.
That sucked.
Yeah.
But then I got, you know, then I go to Bosch. Okay. Now I'm, you know, so I just kept changing in this.
But you kind of always stayed in that tool and die.
Yeah, I like that. Machining thing was cool, but I wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
I wanted to be a math teacher, but then I did some student teaching, and I realized I hate other people's children. The ones that aren't disciplined, I can't stand them.
Yeah. Discipline is key.
Yeah. And so I realized, you know, if I had this job, I'd probably get fired. So I probably shouldn't do this. And that's when I smashed my hand at work, and I discovered physical therapy.
How'd you smash your hand?
The torque gun malfunctioned. It's supposed to click off at like 100 PSI or whatever the torque pounds, whatever the hell it is. Okay. I can't remember. It malfunctioned and just slammed my fingers between the torque gun and the cast iron housing of a brake bar, a hydro boost.
Yeah.
And smashed my fingertips.
Youch.
So I was in a splint for maybe 4 weeks.
Wow.
Then my hand was just stiff. So he would send me to PT. And then I saw that lady, and she had the best job in the world.
Yeah.
Able-bodied people come in and do their job. That's the best job you'll ever get is PT. So I come in there, do my thing with her, and I'm like, this is what you do? I was like, shit, I can do that. You know, so then I just went to PT just by smashing my hand.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I smashed my hand. Never heard of PT.
Okay.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
You know, so just little things keep propelling me in different directions. Accidents typically is what did it.
Accidents.
But I always do weird, crazy things.
Yeah.
Sometimes unplanned and unannounced.
Yeah. When I went through physical therapy on my hip, I did a bunch of things. I've hurt myself several times, but I've gone through physical therapy a couple of times. And I was fortunate and unfortunate all at the same time that my physical therapist also happened to be our athletic trainer for the football team that I played for. So he would kick my ass because he knew, you know what I mean? It wasn't just a normal... You know, I don't know, those physical therapists push you, but because he already had a relationship with me and knew my boundaries, he kicked my ass.
Yep. Yep.
Which I needed. It was good. I came back stronger than ever, but
get back to the point.
He kicked my ass for sure.
Yeah, you can be as aggressive as you and the patient will allow and the body.
Yeah.
You can do it all you want in your head, but if your body says no, it'll let you know.
Yeah, for sure.
You'll have some swelling and pain and nausea, you know?
Yeah. Don't push past that point.
Yeah. You feel like you're gonna throw up. You've done enough for the day.
So when you decided that that was a course of action, you went for it and you went to school or how did that fall?
Well, I was married back then and I talked to my wife about it. I was like, listen, if I go to school right now in South Bend, I can go full time and get 100 credits in 2 years.
Okay.
And they had an accelerated program.
Yeah.
So I,
that seems like a lot.
Yeah. It's no stopping.
Really?
For no breaks. So you got a week off for Christmas and a week off for 4th of July and that's it. Wow. It's nonstop.
Those are two weird. I wonder why 4th of July.
Because it just gives you something in the middle for them, probably for their staff.
Oh, gotcha. It makes sense. Yeah, some summer vacation-ish. Just give them
something, you know. But yeah, so I just decided, I talked to her about it, and I was like, listen, you know, you're going to kind of be a single mother.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be working full-time. Then I was working at Bosch on third shift, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. minimum, but you never worked 8 hours.
Yeah.
And so then I'm working 8 to 12 hours a day, going to school full-time, Monday through Friday, 9 to like 1. So I get home at like 2:30, go to sleep. And if I got called in at 7, I'd get up at 6.
Wow.
So I'm dog tired.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I wasn't really a husband. I was barely a person.
Yeah.
And so I just went to work, went to school, studied, sleep, ate, took a shower. And just that's what I did for 2 years. And I got it done.
Yeah.
So I got a job with Borges, then Lakeland, and, you know, wound up
that's
here.
That's tough, man. All the way around. I mean, that's tough on you. That's tough on your spouse at the time. I mean, that's a huge undertaking for your spouse at the time to have to go through that.
Yeah. And we thought we could do it. You know what I mean? But we couldn't.
Yeah.
Plus we were so young. You know, it's only 28 years old. That's when I made that. I was 28 when I made that decision to go full time.
Yeah.
So by the time I was 30, I already graduated, but then we got divorced at 30.
You know? Geez. So yeah,
it was, the writing was on the wall then. Cause I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
That's tough.
You know,
it's a huge sacrifice.
But I thought I was doing the right thing for the family long term. It was the right decision, but it wasn't the right decision for our marriage per se.
Okay.
So, you know, that's the way life worked out that time.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't say I don't regret it because we always have regrets.
Yeah.
But there's no point in hanging up on it. You just do, you know, you did the best you could with the information you had at the time.
Yeah. Life is constantly about moving forward, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, reinventing yourself and moving forward, learning from those experiences and kind of
really
pushing yourself to just be better.
Yeah. That's my thing. I just want to be a better version of myself.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I want to be a better version of myself I was yesterday.
Absolutely.
Best I can. And that's why I always tell people the best day of my life is when I get to change my mind again.
Okay.
Because that means someone's presenting me with better evidence.
Yeah.
So I have more information and now I feel like I'm more right, if there's a way of putting it.
Yeah.
I feel more confident in my position. Now I've changed my mind in the right direction. Me, I'm always looking for more information.
Yeah. I think that's huge.
Yeah, it's on anything. I love to learn.
Yeah, I think that's huge.
I wish I was a rich kid that could just go to school for 12 years and be
a
doctorate in philosophy or something.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest. I hated school. I love to learn.
Yeah.
I hate school.
The format.
Yeah, the format. I love to learn.
Yeah.
I try to stay as open-minded as possible. I try to take in as much information as possible, but the format of school was terrible. I actually ended up going to an alternative high school. Mm-hmm. School just wasn't for me. I wasn't good in that atmosphere. When I went to alternative high school, I credit everything to the teacher I had in alternative high school for me graduating. His name was Corey Price. It was the Bridgman Alternative High School. Corey Price. I absolutely credit him for everything because without him, I probably wouldn't have graduated. I probably wouldn't have done anything. And it wasn't that I was necessarily like a bad kid. It just wasn't for me. That wasn't the way I learned. That wasn't the way I could input things. You know, when it was a class of 35 kids to one teacher and they're just expecting you to do things. Mm-hmm. I can be very self-driven, but if it doesn't intrigue me, I don't give a shit.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Well, and I've learned through my experience with people that are like you, artistic.
Yeah.
Artistic is a different wiring. To me, from what I learned from other people is if you're artistic, you just see things differently.
Yeah.
And you absorb things differently and you recall them differently. And so seeing it said 5 times doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I've had some friends like that. They have to write it down. They have to physically do it.
Yeah, everybody's got a little different way of doing it. Yeah.
Like either hearing it and writing it or watching it and writing or actually doing hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, school's a rigid format. You know, it's just made to get you back in a factory job for World War II.
Yeah. And as you realize too, you know, some things in school, and obviously I don't know 100% what I'm talking about. I'm an idiot, but I love to talk. Is a lot of times, you know, they are teaching you things. There are things you're learning, but a lot of times they're teaching you a set format of how to learn, which doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
And I don't feel like it worked for me.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of agree with what you were saying is that I'm definitely more of a hands-on person. Like I need that that hands-on, like, whatever it is, I need to do it. I need to, you know, write it down, whatever, draw it, whatever it is, and then I can intake it better.
So did you take biology with a lab? Because, you know, biology is one of those classes I've seen that more prevalent where you get the bookwork version of it in class.
Yeah.
But then on Tuesday and Thursday, you do a lab.
Yeah.
Then some other people shine in that environment. And the other kids that are good at books are kind of like, well, I don't want to do it. I just want to learn it.
Oh, I definitely would have been better in that way.
You know, so I think that's a good example of biology. It's a great classroom experiment.
Now that I think about it, I took...
You had to dissect something.
Yeah, we did take biology, but it was a very straightforward... Just like,
by the book.
Yeah, because it was alternative ed. It was a lot different than...
So you didn't get to dissect pigs and frogs and sharks.
We dissected
a
pig eye.
Oh,
okay. And I want to say a cow lung or something.
Uh-huh.
But that was it.
Yeah. But everybody, that's another thing too, is everybody learns their own way.
Yeah.
I'm repetitious.
Okay.
If I do it 10, 20 times, I pretty much got it. That's what I learned through college, man, because I had to be effective and efficient because I was tired.
Yeah.
You know, and being a parent, that's a challenge to figure out your own kids.
Yeah.
How do they learn best?
Yeah, that's difficult because I see that a lot is the things that I want to show my children or tell my children. I tell them the way that I think it needs to be done, and they're and it's not there. Mm-hmm. You know, and then like you said, you have to try to figure out like, well, what is the way to approach this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and definitely my children are very different animals. You know, my oldest, and I've talked about this before, but my oldest is very empathetic. He's very cautious. He's, you know, I mean, he's just the sweetest boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that he is not aggressive and doesn't have that in him, but he's just a different kid, where my youngest is an animal. And you can just tell him things differently. You know, like I coach sports for them.
Yeah.
And the way that I have to coach my oldest is completely different than the way I would coach my youngest.
You can be direct with the youngest.
Yeah. The youngest, you can get on him. I don't want to say get on him, but you know, you can have that like, get him, you know, where the oldest is like, okay, let's.
Yeah. A little more tact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've coached sports since I got out of the military. I coached until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
So I've coached varsity wrestling, Rocket football, My Way wrestling.
Okay.
I helped out with track and stuff like that. I love coaching. That's why I want to be a teacher to begin with.
Yeah.
I love math, but I love coaching more.
I love coaching.
I love the hours. Get off work and you just go coach a couple hours, you go home.
Yeah.
And you get another paycheck and you get the summer off. I mean, it's just a win.
Yeah.
But yeah, teaching wasn't for me. I think I'd be a better teacher now though.
Okay.
Because now I've had kids.
Yeah.
And I've learned to be more patient.
Especially with experience.
Yes. So now I know that, and coaching. You learn personality types and family home environments make a big difference on how you can approach a certain kid.
Yeah.
You can't go off on them if their dad's a psycho.
Yeah, that's true.
Or their mom's a psycho or a control freak.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
And that's hard to pick up on.
Yeah. Until you do parent-teacher conferences and you meet them, you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
Dad's a dumbass.
Oh, geez. You know? Yeah.
For me, it's life's always had its challenges and sometimes it kicks my ass. But then somehow I'll find a way.
Yeah.
No matter what. Just like that's how I got into podcasting. I got bored. I'm so used to having challenges and I started getting bored with life. I got divorced at home alone half the time and I was bored. And I started looking into other things and then I just stumbled because I was going to, I went to individual therapy for 3 years.
Really?
With divorce, I went to couples counseling, a small men's group, and individual counseling.
Yeah.
So therapy taught me a lot. That's another thing about the podcast. It's all about mindfulness, is learning about yourself.
Yeah, to open up a little bit more.
And just think about, why do you react the way you do? For me, I learned through therapy that I'm more sensitive when people mess with kids.
Yeah.
That's a trigger for me because I had it pretty rough.
Yeah, that's a huge trigger for me too.
Yeah, so I'm kind of projecting onto that kid my own fears for him or her.
Yeah.
You know, being neglected or left out or just odd.
Yeah.
I find those kids need my help, per se, in my own ego. So that's something I learned in therapy, too, to be mindful of, okay, don't react to that so quickly. Think about it. It's not your kid.
Yeah.
It's not your place. Check your anger. Chill out.
Yeah, that's a tough one, though, because that's a trigger for me. As kids is a trigger for me, 100%. Yeah,
definitely, man. As fathers, you know, there's not enough of us.
Yeah. I try very hard with the fact that I am friends with Bob Ruff, Truth and Justice podcast, and he deals in wrongful convictions and that type of stuff. I did want to be in criminal justice before I did tattooing, before I did anything. So mm-hmm. I understand a little bit of that.
Yeah.
That I really try to put forth the fact that people should be innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which in this day and age is kind of a fallacy. if you are brought up on charges on something, they automatically think you're guilty. And it's hard sometimes because there are times where somebody is brought up on a charge that feels so heinous because it's done to a child that you don't even want to give them the benefit of being innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, that's tough.
It is really tough.
You want someone to pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's how it's always been.
Yeah.
That's how you get people wrongly convicted. They just want someone to pay.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're emotional. You don't even care who it is, just someone.
Yeah.
Make you feel better.
That's definitely a trigger for me because, like I said, you should be, you know, in this country, that's one of the deals is you should be innocent until proven guilty.
Well, we are in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
And we can't control society. Absolutely. How they see it. And that's the big bugaboo there.
Yeah.
With like rape and murder or whatever.
It's a huge fallacy now that it's just not there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've seen that even recently, multiple cases recently, local, of child abuse.
Yeah.
And you immediately want to jump, as soon as you hear it, you immediately want to jump all over it, regardless of the outcome or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there was a case recently that we are familiar with where there was a child that was abused, pretty severely abused, skull fractures, all these things. They had a individual in custody. They ended up finding the individual not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
He's released. Now that's over. They don't know what happened to that child, and they'll never pursue it now.
Yeah.
Because the individual they thought did it was now pronounced not guilty.
Yeah, and they put all their resources into...
Which is, okay, if he didn't do it, that's fine. But now there is still no justice for that child.
Or the whole family.
Or the whole family.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear as a parent.
Yeah.
Something happened to my kids, man.
And there's one going on right now that is, I think, will be a huge one. It's been all over the news lately. I won't mention any names, but it's a local one that's been on the news lately that I've been really following. It's the same kind of ordeal that is the person brought up on charges may or may not have done it, and everybody's jumping down the guy's throat.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I do know them.
Okay.
But I'm trying very hard to separate my feelings.
Right. Yeah.
From the facts.
From the law.
Yeah, from the law.
Yeah.
Which is hard.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's hard to control your emotions.
It absolutely is hard to control your emotions. It really is.
Especially when it's something, a vulnerable person like a child or even the elderly.
Yeah.
You see these videos of the elderly getting beat up by these aides or these nurses or, man, I want to commit murder.
Yeah.
I visualize murdering people.
Yeah.
When I see them beating up on a World War I vet or a little kid that's whatever.
So one of the things that my mother works at the hospital.
Okay.
And she works in telemetry.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they do is they have a section where they watch fall cams, and it's people that are fall risks.
Oh, the little robotic eye thingy.
Yep. They've caught several times of elderly abuse from, you know, kids. It'll be a elderly person in there, and their kid will come in to see them, and you know, just heinous things that you're like, that they have to call in.
Yeah.
You don't want to have to be the person that does that. It's ridiculous.
Well, in the healthcare field, you're legally obligated.
Yeah.
And if you don't.
Yeah.
Your ass is in a sling.
Oh, absolutely.
For real. Yeah. Like, you know, I have to report anything I see. Child endangerment, elderly endangerment, abuse, neglect, animals.
Yeah.
I've had to personally call about animal control because the person I was seeing, they had like two horses. You could see their bones, man.
Oh, geez.
And these like 6 pounds of pit bulls, like little kennels of pit bulls.
Yeah.
Outside in the winter, puppies. Frostbite tipped ears, you know, stuff like that. And I was like, okay, this isn't cool.
Yeah, that's not good.
I know I'm here to see this person, but this can't go on.
Yeah.
And so, we had to make the call, and they lost the animals, thankfully.
Yeah.
But the horses had to get put down because they were just emaciated. It's awful.
That's terrible.
That really irritates me, too.
Yeah.
Again, vulnerable people.
Yeah.
That's my male ego. I want to protect and help. You know, we think our egos think we're just Superman.
Yeah.
And you want to. If there's any part of Superman you can be, you want to be it.
Yeah.
You know, if it is just a phone call, then so be it.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. And so you kind of picked this up through you going through therapy is kind of how you've opened yourself up to this.
Yeah. So that's how I just got into therapy. And now I've gotten to podcasting where it's a whole new thing where I'm like, man, I like therapy.
Yeah.
I don't love it like I used to. Now I found a new love.
Okay.
Now I got a mistress on the side podcasting.
Yeah.
So now I find myself. When I'm bored, now I'm thinking about something different.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of me. I have a short attention span for things, apparently.
Okay.
And so to me, it's just, that's why I want my kids to find their passion sooner than me. It took me 43 years.
Yeah.
To find something. But I think this is the funnest challenge of my life.
Yeah. Podcasting?
Yeah. I've done lots of stupid stuff. I get the itch every 5 to 7 years. Skydiving, spelunking, ripcords, bungee jumping, fought in a tough man contest for a few years.
Man, that's all super physical stuff.
Oh, yeah. I love it, man. Stand-up comedy, dude.
Oh, I love stand-up comedy. I wanted to do stand-up comedy for a while. I still would do it. If I had the right opportunity, I would really be interested in it.
Start writing, man.
Yeah.
It's coming.
It's fun.
You go to Kalamazoo, it's booming right now. I just went to an improv night.
Okay.
And they had some stand-up there, too. And it was, there's opportunities now again for just open mic stuff.
Yeah. One of my cousins is big around here right now. He's been hosting at in South Bend, the Drop.
Okay.
His name's Maxwell Tidy.
Okay.
He's been doing a lot of stuff. He's really coming up. Yeah, it's fun.
I love stand-up comedy, man. I've always loved it as a kid. And so I tried it and I thought, you know, that'd be a rush.
Yeah.
And one of my goals was get paid once. Just be a professional comedian, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I did it one time.
Nice.
And that's when I came home and found out I'm getting divorced.
Oh, no.
Swear to God. The same day. That night. I got paid some money. She gave me like $75 to do 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because the other person flaked out. And I was there for like an amateur workshop.
Okay.
So it's me and a bunch of other guys sitting around for doing 5-10 minute sets on stage, practicing and critiquing. And so, yeah, she said, hey, for this comedian coming up tonight, the headliner, your stuff on X, Y, and Z fits in, but you got to remove some of the language.
Okay.
Clean it up a little bit. Can you give me 15 minutes? I'll give you $75.
Yeah.
And 2 beers.
Nice.
So I was like, 2 beers? Yeah. I'll do it for 2 beers, but I'll take the money too.
Sounds good.
But yeah, so like it was the greatest day of my life. I met my goal, and I don't even talk about a high.
Yeah.
Getting on stage, and your heart's in your throat, and they give you the microphone, and everyone there wants to laugh. And you have to
That's make a cool environment.
Laugh. It's so stressful. That's probably the most nervous I've ever been. I'd rather fight again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Fighting comes more natural.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy is not natural.
I put myself in several stressful, what I feel is several high-stress situations. So I feel like that part wouldn't bother me.
What's the dumbest thing you've ever done?
True, the dumbest thing I've ever done?
Looking for a thrill, you know.
Oh, looking for, man, I don't know.
You know, like I did skydiving and ripcord and, you know, bungee jumping and stuff like that.
That's tough. Right. I honestly, I don't know. I mean, we've jumped off stupid shit. We've done, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I go big though, man. Like I ran a marathon while I was going to college full time.
Yeah.
And working, I ran, trained for a marathon.
Okay.
I still ran a marathon that year.
That's awesome.
Stupid stuff like that.
Yeah,
I get an itch.
That's tough. That's a really tough question. What's the stupidest thing? Because there's a lot of stupid stuff, but it's all, I don't know. Boy, you really floored me on that one. I have to think about that. I'll get back to you on that man. One.
What's the dumbest thing you've done? I mean, like, to me, I feel the most alive when I'm cheating death.
Yeah, I wasn't prepared to answer questions there, you know.
Flip the script.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always like a good challenge, and to me, I've never doubted myself until I ran a marathon.
Okay.
You have 4 hours to figure out that you might not be good enough for this. Like,
yeah.
You doubt yourself. You're like, oh man, this hurts. I could quit. Nobody'd blame me.
Yeah.
I would blame me.
Yeah.
Then I think less of myself and my ego kicks in and says, you can do this. Just one more mile, one more mile. That's the first time I doubted myself. And then now podcasting, you know, before you really click that button, publish.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, man.
Is this any good? Is
anybody going to get chewed up and spit out?
Yeah.
Laughed at or ridiculed or just ignored?
Yeah.
I'm doing all this for nothing.
It is hard. It's really hard to figure that out. And it's hard because when you first start, not that I'm like super deep into it, but we started about the same time.
Yeah.
But when you first start, you do get a lot of positive feedback because the only people listening are your friends.
And the coworkers.
Yeah. So they're giving you positive feedback.
Yeah.
It's when you start getting honest feedback from other individuals that really matters.
Other countries.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird.
So I know you've spread.
I've got a couple weird ones. The one recently, which I'm super thankful for, and it's super weird to me, is I've had a couple listens in Kazakhstan.
Borat.
Yeah. So that's when I made a social media post about it, and that's a lot of people said that they made a little
nice.
Borat.
Yeah,
nice. Very nice.
Well, like, I got some weird ones, like one in Ghana.
Okay.
Central Africa.
Yeah.
Australia's big on podcasting.
They are.
Australia, you know, Mexico. But I got one in like Paraguay.
Okay.
South America.
Yeah.
Just odd little Ireland.
Yeah.
Weird little places. How do you get there?
We have a pretty good listenership in Australia on this podcast.
Australia's big into podcasts, man.
So Australia listeners, check out Mindful Skeptics. So I'll be on it next week.
Yes.
Well, not next week. This week.
Sunday. Yep.
Okay.
I put out every Sunday. Yours are on Thursdays. Yep. So yeah, I know I'm... At home care, I consume a podcast all day, every day.
Yeah.
I hate public radio.
Yeah.
It's just become so redundant and boring. And so I listen to podcasts all day long. So every Friday morning or Thursday,
yeah,
I'm listening to your podcast from 9 a.m. till whenever.
Yeah.
Yours are only between 30 minutes.
45 and an hour, 15. An hour.
Yeah. So in my car, I can get that done by lunch.
Okay.
Between patients.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, okay, who else?
Yeah, what's
now,
next?
Now I got to do another one in the afternoon. Or
yeah.
You get a long one like Joe Rogan. It's like 3 hours. It'll take me a whole day.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's fun. It's something different. And sometimes you actually learn something.
Oh, absolutely.
And it turns you on to a new subject you would have never thought of.
Yep. And there's a lot of times I've listened to podcasts. I'm a big podcast head too. I listen to a ton of podcasts. Mm-hmm. And there's times where you listen to a podcast where it's something you didn't think you'd get something from. And it's just absolutely opened your eyes.
I don't think I've ever heard a podcast I didn't learn something.
Absolutely.
Or pick up a new fact.
Yeah.
Or a new point of view. Or a point of view that I don't agree with, but yet I still listen, hear it out.
Yeah.
That way, if someone else presents it to me, I've already heard it and I kind of got a way to approach that.
Right now, I am forcing myself, I'm not forcing myself away from podcasts, but I'm only listening to the podcasts that I'm really following right now because I'm in the middle of an audiobook that I'm deep into right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I will listen to whatever podcast, you know, whatever podcast dropped that day that I need to listen to, done. And then I go back to my audiobook until the next.
What's the audiobook?
Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
Oh, geez. I never
Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins.
That's the thing that sucks is my new car doesn't have the DVD slot.
Really?
Yeah. That pissed me off. So I used to go to the Coloma Library and get audiobooks, man. I consume some serious books in my other car.
He's Audible on my phone.
Well, it's paid.
Yeah.
And I'm cheap. I'm super cheap, bro.
Gotcha.
What I have found is that YouTube, there's YouTube videos where people read them out loud.
Yeah.
For free.
Oh, there you go.
Hey.
There you go.
So I'll look into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that stuff, man. But, you know, this is my new adventure.
Okay.
You know, and I'm sure you're probably riding the same kind of little tickly high of like, okay, what's the challenge? What's my next goal?
Yeah.
You know, and here it is, a new year. And we both got a late start in the year.
Yeah.
So we get a whole calendar year and like, okay, what are my goals this year?
Yeah, what's excited. The numbers I'm hit? Right at the beginning of this year, I dropped an episode with Nicole Rails back. It's episode 20, and we talk about goals.
Yes.
And that really had me thinking a lot about goals, not just, you know, I have some physical goals I'd like to attain, but a lot of them are other goals, life goals,
man. Yeah, definitely.
And like you said, having a whole calendar year now is going to be fun and interesting to see what happens with it.
Well, I approach my goals. I did listen to that as well. And I've always been a goal person. I write them down and I go back to them every once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's kind of important.
Well, for me, I have long-term goals, which are more the harder to attain ones.
Yeah.
Say, okay, if I pull this one out, man, I had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
But then I make a couple of short-term goals I can work on for the next 3 months. And then kind of like, okay, you know, kind of segment it out a little bit and maybe meet them all in the first 3 months. Then you got to meet some new goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to make them too easy because then it's not really fulfilling, you know? But I did like that podcast. She's a pistol. I like that type of person.
She's awesome.
No excuses, man.
Yeah, I found, you know, in that Can't Hurt Me book, he brings up a couple good points about goals. And it's something I never thought of, but it's a good way to obtain them. And it's kind of like you said about having those long-term goals and the short-term goals. And he talks about, you know, say you want to lose 40 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you set that as your goal. I want to lose 40 pounds. But then on the other end of it, you say, I want to lose 2 pounds this week.
Right.
And that's your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to go, I want to lose 40 pounds this year. It's hard to wrap your head around mentally, but you can go, I want to lose 2 pounds this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that week's over. And now you go, I want to lose 2 pounds this week or what, you know, and you just kind of keep rolling. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to obtain something like that.
Well, I think goals need time restrictions, not just someday.
Yeah.
Jesus, I can get cancer and lose 40 pounds. How do I want to do it in what time frame?
Yeah.
Under my conditions, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think a time constraint is helpful. You know, if you're self-driven, you'll get off your ass.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like you said, weight, 2 pounds a week, that's fully capable. And 2 times 50 is 100. So you got wiggle room to have a bad week, to gain a pound. You know, those are similar goals in life where you should leave yourself some wiggle room. And to me, you just can't beat yourself up if you don't make your goal.
Yep.
You know, you just got to adjust. Life is a bunch of sequences of adjustments.
You're absolutely right.
To stress or failure.
You're absolutely right.
I think you learn more from failure. Always. Just like any sport, same thing in life.
Yep.
If everything came to you easily, it's just not that fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So with that being said, on a closing note, if you had some words to give somebody that want to reinvent their life, what would it be?
Well, I guess it'd be, I'm going to go age appropriate first.
Okay.
To me, if you're a young kid, man, that's my advice to any kid I coached in high school or kids that are graduating now. No matter what you did in life, man, good or bad, you don't have to hold it over your own head. Don't beat yourself up about it, man, because no matter what you did, if you grew up and you wind up stealing, you got in trouble for stealing or beating someone up, and you went to jail, or you can always come back. You can always make a decision. Like, you know what? That's who I was. I choose not to be that person today. I'm going to be a better version of myself tomorrow. You know, so for kids that are young, man, you've got nothing but time. No matter what, make your goals, work towards them. And, you know, growing up, we all know, as our, you know, we're in our 40s.
Yeah. Our goals, I'm not. You are.
I am.
I'm in my 30s.
You're still fighting it, yeah. But, you know, you can always change your goals, too.
Yeah.
Because your goals will change because life will change them for you. And as the older you get, you know, here I am in my 40s. It's still not too late. You just got to be realistic.
Yeah.
For me at 40, it's like, okay, I just want to get my kids to become good adults.
Yeah.
That's a good goal.
That you is know, a great goal.
Little goals. Those are huge goals, really.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't take that much effort. Just be a parent, man.
Yeah.
And so for people that are in midlife, you can make new goals, but again, you've made mistakes all the way. You've filed bankruptcy or you've lost your house or whatever. You can always start from today and say, okay, that's it. Today's my bottom.
Yeah.
I decided today's my bottom. And so make sure that your bottom is the day you choose it to be. Don't let it get worse.
Yeah.
Don't let your bottom be that far down, man, because it's tough. And just always reinvent yourself because to be stagnant is boring.
Yeah.
To me. So I hope more people can learn to be more adventurous and challenge themselves, be a better version of yourself. Don't just be that couch potato, man. Just don't sit there.
Yeah.
That's boring.
You're absolutely right.
Just don't sit there.
So one more time, if they want to find your podcast, how can they find it?
So on Facebook, my name's Boyce Littlefield. It's an easy name to find. I'm probably sure I'm the only person with that name in this country. That's on I'm on the podcast feed is on through my own website or Facebook page.
And you can just search it in Apple Podcasts as well.
It's on all the podcasts. Yes. Okay. Breaker, whatever. Yep. More platforms.
But you're on all the platforms.
Yeah.
So all the podcatchers.
Mindful Skeptics.
Mindful Skeptics.
Up. Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Well, thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
So on a closing note to the show, I want to remind you one more time, go check out the Mindful Skeptics podcast, where yours truly was on this past week, discussing my favorite movies, places I want to visit, and my opinions on gun laws. And then as extra, also check out the Hustle and Heels podcast, where again, I talk about my three hustles with Stacy Carlin. And of course, my three hustles being tattooing, shooting, and podcasting, and how I got started on all three. Both of these podcasts can be found on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. So make sure you go check out these podcasts, let me know what you think, and tell them I sent you. And once again, make sure to go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and subscribe to the show.